Hey, PG fans, got a dollar? Then head over to shop.premierguitar.com and check out our massive ebook collection. We have authoritative titles on everything from DIY projects to lessons in a variety of styles and advice from legendary artists and gear builders. Plus, we release new collections every 2 weeks. Check it out at shop.premierguitar.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee at the Exit Inn with math rock super guru over here, Dylan Mathiasen of Tiny Moving Parts. Dude, so stoked we could do this.
Dude, yeah.
Before we talk any more gear, you guys are watching this, so just go ahead and subscribe. You get all kinds of other free content and awesome rig rundowns, riff rundowns, and you can stay, you know, prize of all our giveaways. We do a lot of cool giveaways, like, what is it, Secret Stocking? Mystery stocking, which is an awesome, awesome thing. You guys should all sign up for it. Anyway, here we are with Dylan. Dude, so pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
Huge pleasure to meet you and to be able to do this. This is rules, man.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. For a number of reasons. Not only, we'll get to it in a minute, you play one of my favorite amps of all time.
Yes.
But also, I'm a huge Thin Line fan. How is it that you kind of came into this world?
Yeah, so when I was 17, I saved up all my money that I worked at our family-owned grocery store in our small town. We're from Benson, Minnesota. Really small town. And I saved up all my money, and I knew I wanted a Fender. Some of my favorite artists, I mean, like, Blink-182 is one of our favorite artists, like, growing up, for sure. And I remember, like, Tom DeLonge had, like a Telecaster, or excuse me, a Stratocaster. So I knew I wanted, like, a Stratocaster or a Telecaster, and I found this on, I think it was, like, on eBay. And I remember I really liked the color and, like, just the way it looked, the nice little F-cut and stuff.
Yeah.
They're sweet, and then I bought it, and, like, so that was, 11 years ago, and kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So now I have three of them, because I love all guitars, but like, I just feel most comfortable, and I feel like creative wise, like writing music, it just seems, I don't know, easier, more fluent for me when I'm on the Telecaster for some reason. But
cool. And have you messed with Telecasters with, you know, just the standard setup with single coils?
Not really. I've been just doing just the regular humbuckers it's been coming with, you know. And it's funny, we actually took the switch out of this guy because
you hit it.
I always hit it. I like to set it in the middle. So, when I'm like strumming or like going hard, I'll just accidentally hit it all the time. So the other two, I haven't taken them out. I just like taped them up. This one was taped up for a long time, but I got it fixed like a couple tours ago. And when I got in the shop, they just like, take it out?
Is it just hardwired to the middle position?
Yeah, yeah.
That rules.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I've always had that problem with Les Pauls because it's up here. So when you're
strumming, yeah,
always
that's
hit
right.
It. Yeah, so mine are always taped down too. Yeah. I totally get it. Well, that's a good workaround. Just remove the problem altogether.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't care.
Awesome. So with your other Thin Lines, are they for different tunings or are they just for backup?
Yeah. So this guy, I do D, A, E, A, C sharp, E. So just like a nice, it's like a really nice, pretty open tuning, which is like, I would say like 60% of like TMP songs are like in this tuning. But yeah, the other two I use, just regular drop D, and then just drop C sharp, even though they're pretty similar, but it's kind of like the regular, just the natural wood one, it's kind of like my backup, but I still like play some songs in it, so just a couple.
It's awesome to have some backups.
And
be able to change. So you're pretty much on this unless you're in a different tuning.
Yeah, exactly. And I've messed around with like the FAC, GCE tuning a lot. I messed around with DADGAD and, I've written some stuff in it, but it just seems like this is like the main one, the D-A-E, A-C sharp E. It just helps, I guess, for our sound, it just works really well.
So out of curiosity, have you had to augment your string gauges?
I mean, I'd messed around with a bunch of different stuff. The one that I use all the time, though, is the 10 to 52 skinny top, heavy bottom Ernie Ball. And yeah, it's just most comfortable. And I feel like for this tuning, at least particularly, just works really well.
Yeah.
Because it got like the low end that like keeps it like kind of like heavy, but then also the easy high. I don't know, it just works really well.
So out of curiosity, before we go any further, like how did you get into, you have a pretty unique style of playing. Were you like really into American football when you were a kid or something?
It's funny because like when I started messing around with open tunings, then I heard of American football, like, oh, you guys sound like American football, or like all these like, emo bands with like open tunings. I'm like, oh, so I started listening. I'm like, oh, they're sick. Like, they're definitely cool bands. But there's this one band, Algernon Cadwallader, and they, like, they're a band from Philadelphia. And I remember they do open tunings because I was learning one of their songs. Like, I think it was like. I remember I just really liked the intro, and I was like, what is that? That's like, that's not standard tuning. It can't be. And I looked it up, and it was that tuning, and I just kind of messed with it and stuck with it, kind of, yeah.
Rules. I mean, it definitely works, man.
Yeah.
Too cool. Not only is it, like, pretty technical stuff you're playing and not in a standard tuning, which is tricky enough for most people, but you sing on top of all that. Like,
yeah.
Is that something that you've had to work at really hard?
So, I mean, well, when we, like, write songs, we always write the instrumentation first and then the lyrics last. So I'll like write the riff or like write a song and I'll bring it to band practice, show Matt and Bill, and then we just practice the songs millions of times. So I feel like that just like burns into my muscle memory pretty well. And then of course add lyrics afterwards and that kind of, it's all just muscle memory, right. I feel like in the end, but it's a lot of practice too, you know?
Because it gives you the opportunity to kind of like fit your lyrics where it works with your playing.
Yeah, definitely. And like we'll add like weird time signatures and stuff just to make sure like all the lyrics and stuff fit in place really well. But yeah, I mean, I'll write lyrics and stuff like on my phone, or like even if I think a word is cool, I'll write it on my phone and then bring it to practice and just kind of go from there.
Yeah. Rules. All right, well, on to let's go on to amps now.
Yeah.
The Chevy Blazer is one of my favorite amps of all time. No, I'm just kidding. This is a Supersonic that you've rehoused, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it originally was the 60-watt combo with like the 112 speaker, but we took the speaker out and then just used two 212 Supersonic cabs for each side of the stage, because we're just a three-piece band, so we always wanted to have like two sides instead of just bass on one guitar. So,
and you're carrying a lot of sonic weight with just one player, you know what I mean, especially for your singing too, so that's crazy. But
yeah,
man, I never understood why the hell Fender would discontinue that amp. It was one of my favorite Fender amps of all time.
It's still my favorite amp of all time.
For a modern Fender amp, that is the one, man. Like, it kind of does everything, and if you need to get gain, you can kind of get some real gain out of it, you know?
Yeah, that's what I really liked about it, because I was in college and my friend had it up there up in Fargo, and Fargo, North Dakota. I remember he had a Supersonic, and I fell in love with it literally instantly, like once I started playing it, because like I had like Line 6 Spiders and you know, like solid state crate amps and stuff, like growing up, just like little kicker amps, and I was always think like clean distortion. And like, I feel like this was really good at like the burn and like kind of like a nice mix of the two, almost in a way.
Yeah.
You know, just, it's not just like this and that. It's like it could be a blend of each one, which is really cool.
Typically, especially like if you're playing like a high gain amp, it only does that. Or if you're playing like a really, really spanky amp, it kind of only does that. And that's why I always love this amp, because it's like, it's got the cleans of a twin, but it can break up and it just gets there, man. That's cool.
Rock.
Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, PODCAST15, that's PODCAST15, to get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only, no Wi-Fi required.
How did the dogs come to be on here?
So, before each tour, I plan on like putting a new like grill, like just a new
just
fabric on front. Yeah, for fun. Like we did a winter tour years ago, and I had like, I think I had like a Christmas sweater like layout on it, and then I had like a light up snowflake in the middle and like candy canes on the side. I plan on just doing that every tour, but the tour following up that, like the winter one, I put the dogs on and I was like, I can't get rid of that.
Yeah,
like
so,
it's here to stay. It looks so cool.
Yeah. Gotta show some love to the dogs. That
Absolutely
rules, man.
Definitely.
All right, well, let's see. When I'm looking at your pedal board here, I honestly expected a lot more going on.
Yeah.
Because you guys have such a complex sound.
Yep.
Like, for example, a lot of dudes that do tapping are pretty compression heavy. I don't see a compressor on here at all.
I don't have a compressor, yeah. No, I'm honestly, like, when we first started touring, like 8-9 years ago, people would ask me, like, what kind of compressor you use? And I honestly didn't even know what a compressor was. I was like, what? What is that? Oh, it helps with the notes. But I've never really messed with it. I mean, like in the studio, we'll mess around with stuff, but live, definitely, I don't. I just have I used to have quite a big pedal board, but I kind of downgraded to just only a few, just the necessities, I'd say.
Yeah, man, this is a pretty Spartan rig.
Yeah.
Considering, you know.
Yeah, it's cool.
Man, you gotta love the DL4.
That's like the main thing.
I think I'm on my fifth or sixth.
I'm on my fourth, and yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's hard to go through a tour without it, like, staying 100%. I always feel like I have to like fix, like push the chip back in or something, or like do some hard resets, but I love it. Yeah, I love the way it sounds.
Plus, once you, if you grew up playing that pedal, you know it so well. Like, obviously there are better loopers, there are better delay pedals, and you know, there's all this new gear, but man, I still see those on boards all the time.
All the time, yeah. They're very, very
so
popular.
So this one is, have you had this modded?
I just had my friend put in like new switches.
Yeah, which those go out.
Yeah. And I mean, pedals. I guess he changed like the like different lighting and stuff just to spice it up.
White LEDs, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I mean, I had like, I don't have it on this tour, but I had, yeah, like the modded where it's like the top.
The extra, looper
like,
mod?
Yeah,
those are sweet.
Instead of like twisting it to the loop setting, you're just
clicking
a switch.
Click it and it goes right
in.
Yeah.
But I think that one's like getting fixed right now or something. So, yeah.
Loopers are tricky because they all have their own kind of characteristic that you need to like learn. And I think those are so popular because people like, you know, that was like probably the first looper most people had.
Yeah.
So you're just so used to the way it,
it's,
you know,
yeah, it's
the
very user friendly. Just like, okay, start, stop, and then of course like reversing it and stuff too in the loop.
Cool. And then so you're using the foot switch for the Supersonic.
Yeah, honestly, on this tour, I don't even have it plugged in, but I was like, I don't know where I'm gonna put it, so I might as well leave it on my board. But yeah, because I would do, for this tour, I've been just mainly having it be 100% like on the burn channel, just like just distortion, and then every time I want some sort of clean, I just like kind of peel back like 50%, you know, so it's like loud to like.
And it doesn't bother you not having a boost or something like that to help the clean part?
Not really. I would use like the effect, the effect on this like.
Yeah.
And then I would turn in the back because the back of the Supersonic you can turn it up. So that used to be like my volume boost at certain parts. But yeah, I've been just kind of experimenting with like different ways, and I just for this tour just worked out. I'm just using just the volume pedal, just peel it back a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that's a good trick, man, for sure.
Yeah.
And then what is this boss here? Is this a?
Yeah, the RC30.
Ah, yeah.
Yep. So I mean, I just kind of do like for samples, you know, just like some ambient,
fill you out
like
a little
background
bit
stuff,
between
you
know? Songs and stuff.
Yeah. You know, and then I do like some little transitions to like songs live, just like little drum beats and stuff. But yeah, I like it. I mean,
yeah, it's a fun, that's a super fun pedal, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I really dig it. It does its job. I don't really utilize it too much, but yeah, I really like it. It's very, yeah, it's cool.
Cool. So Ernie Ball volume, the DL4.
Yep.
Got the boss, and that's pretty much it other than the switcher from the amp.
Yeah.
And the polytune, got a stand tune.
Yep.
What's with the can of
this is a reminder to myself for my blue guitar. I gotta like switch, or it was like cutting in and out last night.
Oh, so, like pot cleaner or something.
Yeah, okay, so I gotta make sure that's all.
I was wondering. I didn't know if you had like a weird little WD-40 trick or something.
Oh, no, yeah. But yeah, for the DL4, I suppose I could show you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like the DL4, I use it a lot, like a little stutter effect with it. So if I'm playing, I'll do like a. It's just kind of cool. Yeah.
That is so cool, man.
Yeah.
Dude, if you haven't already seen it, if you guys are interested in this stuff at all, the minus the bear rig rundown, Knudsen has like four of those things going on at a time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, on his board at all times.
Awesome.
And I was like, I actually asked him, like, how do you keep those from breaking? He's like, check this out. Pulls out a drawer and it's like full of DL4s. Like,
whoa.
Because it's like such a big part of their sound, you know?
Yeah.
They had to kind of keep some in stock.
Yeah, I've never seen some video where he's just like doing two at the same
time.
Oh,
it's wild. Like, it almost looks like a DJ because he'll play something and then get down and start twisting knobs and like reversing stuff. It's so cool, man.
Yeah.
It's really, really neat, man. It's amazing how inspiring that one little piece of gear has been to so many players, you know?
Yeah.
Especially for music I love. It's just so cool, man.
Definitely. And like, we grew up like listening to like the Fall of Troy and like Terra Mellos and like kind of like, you know, technical bands, and they always had the DL4s, and I was like, God, that's so cool. And I remember seeing it live, I'm like, I want to make that sound. That sounds badass, dude. Like, it's cool, you know. So
it is cool.
Yeah.
So man,
12 years later, I still play it.
I'm kind of blown away at how light your rig is. This is
It's really not too much. I can show you guys the the other two.
Yeah, let's check them out.
Two guitars.
And then also, before I let you go, we need to talk banjo.
Oh yeah, the banjo guitar. Yeah. But yeah, here's like the other, like just the natural wood. Basically my backup guitar, but I still play it a couple songs in it live. I keep this one in C sharp, and then this one's just drop D. A lot of the new songs on the record's actually in drop D. So capo on the six. And
I know it's all the same guitar, but do you notice any tonal differences in them?
Honestly, not really.
It's
kind of like the, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. You know, like I love the way they sound, and I always keep it in the middle, you know, this crappy duct tape and some gaff tape. But I love the way it sounds, and just right out of the box, basically. Yeah, you know, just
plus if something happened, you can always find a thin line where pretty much anywhere you're
yeah,
at.
Yeah, definitely.
That's pretty handy. But, all right, so, all right.
Oh, the banjo.
Last but not least, let's take a look at this bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a six-string banjo, right?
Yeah. So for the new record, one of our songs is called Vertebrae, the bridge. We were in the studio just messing around with ideas, and I had this riff going, and we're like, well, let's just try it out on like a 12-string. So we tried a 12-string, and then eventually we're like, oh, this is a banjo guitar. Let's just try this out. So then, so then I did it. I was like, that sounds awesome. And but it has a unique sound, you know.
Gives
I
you
like
something
it.
Different. Yeah,
yeah. I dig it. I mean,
I love also hearing a banjo out of the context of bluegrass or country. Or something
yeah,
like that.
It's like yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
it's really cool because banjo is like four strings, right? It's supposed to be only like
typically
four?
Five.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay,
there's
gotcha.
A drone string at E, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when they're saying how the banjo guitar is literally just six strings, plays just like a regular guitar, and I was like, okay, so it wasn't really that complex or different to like, because I'm already familiar with like, you know.
Yeah, it's not like learning a whole new instrument because five string is totally different. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a totally different beast. So how do you have this pickup rigged?
Is this? I just have to tape it down, whatever the heck. There's no like volume or anything. It's just, it is what
it's,
it is.
It's all.
Yeah,
it's
and then,
all on.
Then when we play it live, I just have it plugged through like the DI just live, you know, and it seems like every time it's always kind of like difficult to make it as loud as possible without feedbacking, but like it works, and when it does, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
How fun. And it's a fun little flavor to throw in there.
Yeah,
something different. Well, Dylan, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Love the new record, by the way. It sounds great.
Thank you.
You guys stay tuned for more rig rundowns, riff rundowns, and go subscribe. Thanks.